Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell this vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. We'll call this homily the promise, the trial, and the glory. And I think there's a rhythm of Christian life, life in general, present in these readings that all of us have experienced that I wanted to pull out and help us appreciate. Right? That rhythm is promise, it is the passion, and then resurrection or glory. Abraham's the first example, right? The first reading is Abraham. This is a key passage. This is one of the big ones. You know, if you had to pick six Old Testament passages, this is number one. Genesis 12, this is the promise. Well, you can put Adam and Eve in there maybe, so maybe it's number two. But anyhow, this is a big one because when God promises to Abraham everything that's going to come after, and he says, go forth, leave this place, your father's land, to a land I'm going to show you. And then he says, I'm going to bless you. If you trust me and go, I'm going to bless you, bless you, bless you, right? It's the beginning of the blessing of the chosen people, and then the blessing it ultimately is in Christ and in the Catholic Church. So this is where it all begins. So God says, go forth. That's the promise. I'm going to bless you if you follow me. And then a whole trail of passion, of problems for Abraham. He has to leave his home. His family gets divided, especially there in the valley of Sodom. One goes this way, the other one goes this way because they can't get along. Years without a child, no evidence of this promise happening. And he even kind of forces God's hands and has a son with his slave, Hagar. And God says, no, that's not the one I'm going to bless. And he finally receives Isaac, and then God asks him to kill Isaac. It's just like one thing after the other. But the promise is still there. But God leads him through it. Now, this isn't God being cruel. It's God teaching Abraham, and eventually each one of us, to trust God's promises, even when it's not visible. To cling to the source of the promise, which is God, more than the immediate satisfaction, right? The promise giver over getting the promise. God is our security and our trust is in him. Parents, you've all experienced this, right? God promises grace in marriage, right? Fall in love. I just talked to a couple that just got engaged this afternoon. Oh, it's great. The promise of love, finally, he proposed. And then the first kid comes, right? The passion begins. Right? The challenge is, right? Kids, you're not a passion. You're a gift. They love you. But sometimes you require a little work, a little sacrifice, right? There's the promise, but there's also always the challenge. Elderly experience the same looking back on life, right? The regrets. God promised so much, and this is what happened, right? There's a bit of a passion. And out of that comes this prayer. This is the psalm response. Lord, have mercy. As we place our trust in you. It's the cry of the heart. It says, I trusted you. Have mercy on me, please. I believed you. You promised, and I'm faithful to you, and I'm persevering in that. But have mercy. We've trusted in you. So soul, it's like, okay, but I need a little bit. Show me something as we go through the challenge. And Paul to Timothy, bear your share of the hardships. Sometimes that's God's response. A little longer, you're going to have to bear some of this hardship. Bear your share of the hardship. It goes on, rely on the strength that comes from God. Christ destroyed death and brought life. It's like Christ has already won. That conquering has happened. It's sure that the victory is going to be yours, but sometimes we still have to bear our share in the hardships. This again is present in the Transfiguration, right? Jesus takes up his trusted apostles to see his glory. And they're like, wow, this is great. Let's build, let's just stay here. This is awesome. Finally, we get to see your glory. No Pharisees around, no risk around, no Jerusalem, no chatter of how we're going to bring this guy down. This is like union with Jesus. Beautiful. All of us have experienced that. Moments of prayer, moments of bliss, moments when our relationships are just humming. We understand each other. It's like, yeah, let's just stay here. And then Jesus says, nope. We got to go down the mountain, back into the valley, right? Back into the passion. I need, almost feel that Jesus is saying to himself and to them, I need to secure this moment, eternity, for all of you. We're not there yet. There's still more to be done. I got to win heaven and open it and secure it for you and give you grace and give you the sacraments so that you can 100% be assured of your salvation in me. I need to win that victory first. We're not there yet. Hold on, let's go into Jerusalem. And he tells him this mysterious point, which we often say, wait, why is he saying that? Tell no one until the Son of Man is raised. Like, wait a second, you just gave him this big, great experience of his glory, and you're like, don't tell anybody. It's like if you won the lotto or you had this big grace, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to give you this beautiful thing, but you can't tell anybody. It's like, well, half the joy is being able to tell everybody, I won. And just hold on, don't. Why? I believe in part is because Jesus doesn't want to anticipate that process of trust and hope and then receiving the victory that's going to come from his resurrection. For those closest to him, he gives them a glimpse, but for others, he wants them to trust in him. Their process is personal. Mary Magdalene needs to go through this. The other disciples, don't share, don't tell them this. Let them experience it personally. Let them see my glory, trust, and continue. I'll close with one example. Mother Cabrini, a local New York saint, right, had the same experience. Italian immigrant, right, but she went to the Pope as a young nun, had this vision. She wanted to evangelize, and she knew there was a call for missionaries to go to Asia. So she comes to the Pope and says, send me. I'm ready to go. I felt God tell me in prayer I should be a missionary. Send me to Asia. I'm ready. And the Pope tells her, no, you want to go east? No, go west. He says, you're needed in New York City. I've heard the stories of these poor Italian immigrants there in the city. Go there. And that mission you have, go over there. She obeys. That dream she had, she obeys. Goes to New York. All the suffering. You've seen the movie, maybe, if you haven't, see it. Just everything she had to go through, right? The passion to get to the glory. And then eventually, well, you know, she founds St. Charles School in Brooklyn. Then she gets the Columbus Hospital going in Manhattan, which eventually becomes the Cabrini Medical Center. She eventually founds 67 schools, hospitals, and orphanages in the U.S., right? Not the way she wanted. She had a passion to get there, but God had promised her, you're going to be my missionary. You're going to help the immigrants. And he led her to that. So brothers and sisters, Lent's our training ground for this mystery. God promises, return to me with all your heart. And so we do. We enter through this returning of fasting, discipline, and prayer. We die to our sin, our ego. We learn to trust in him. We expand our hearts like Abraham to receive the blessing and the promise. Whatever trial you're facing, it's temporary. The victory is certain. Hope in his mercy. God will not string you along forever. Trust in him. Kids, it's like your parents, right? They promise you, hey, if you just, we'll give you some ice cream. Or, hey, we'll go do this. We'll give you some screen time. There's a promise that you're going to have to go through. First, get your homework done. First, you have to do your chores. First, you got to do this. And we trust them. We're like, all right, they've been good to me before. I'll trust. I'll do it. And then we get even more than we expected. So let's trust in the Lord this Lent. Renew your Lenten commitments, and let's pray that the Lord give us the grace of perseverance and trust, even as his glory is being revealed to us. Amen.